Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
And if you have a Bible or an app, or there's some Bibles maybe nearby you as well, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to continue in this chapter that we began actually a couple of weeks ago. And it's funny how things kind of go sometimes. I started out with this to be one sermon, and it's likely going to turn into four by the time we're all done. So we're kind of doing a little bit of a mini-series where, God willing, we're going to jump back into the book of Acts here coming up shortly, as we kind of left it during the summer season. But I've just really been drawn to some of the themes here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, talking about running the race and how the Christian life is compared to a long-distance marathon that God has called us to run. And one of the underlying themes that we're going to pick up on today is how that what we pursue really matters. How many know there's a lot of things in this life that we can pursue? There's a lot of pursuits that people find themselves in, whether it's pursuing money or pursuing fame or pursuing some kind of prestige of some kind, or pursuing the biggest fish that's out there. I know there's some fishermen here this morning that, man, they get that big one. They just want to, you know, but guys will pursue like crazy to get that trophy fish or that trophy elk or whatever it might be. And there's nothing wrong with those pursuits. I happen to be one of those guys that likes to dip my line in the water from time to time. But a lot of pursuits. And there's some pursuits, when it comes right down to it, at the end of the day, they don't really matter a whole lot. But when it comes to some of the things that we're talking about here in Hebrews chapter 12, we recognize there are some pursuits that really do matter. In the big picture, they really do matter. Hebrews 12 is about running the race. The reality is, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, we need to pursue practices and disciplines that will help us run with perseverance. If we're going to run the marathon, if we're going to run the race well, there are certain practices and disciplines that we must pursue. We learned along the way here that we need to pursue Jesus with all of our hearts. We need to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Him, not becoming distracted, not looking around, not turning back, not kind of looking over our shoulder, because we learned a couple weeks ago that it's in those times that oftentimes the race is lost. Last week, if you missed it, and just as a reminder, we looked at how that God is a perfect and loving Father, and how as a loving Father disciplines His children, so God, as a loving, perfect Father, we find Him from time to time disciplining us. We said a loving father disciplines their children for their good, not because they just want to make life miserable for them, but for their good. And we said the same thing with God. There are times when God must discipline His children, us, for our good and for our benefit. And it's always God's plan and will to help us keep on track. And if those times when we might get off track, that God's loving discipline brings us back so that we can finish the race well. And so we're going to look at verses 12 through 17 today. And I encourage you to, if you haven't been tracking with us the last couple of weeks, to read for yourself, to read the first part of Hebrews chapter 12, maybe sometime this week. But we're going to read verses 12 through 17, and then we're going to look at a few more pursuits that some of them are very similar to what we've already looked at. But let's follow with me in your Bible, starting at verse 12, where it says, Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, and make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men, and be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, he wanted to inherit this blessing. He was rejected, and he could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Some interesting thoughts here for us to consider this morning as we consider these pursuits that really matter. And I hope that you'll just jot some of these notes down as we go. And if there's anything that comes along that you feel just really connects with you personally, just jot it down and give it some thought this week. Meditate on it. The first thing I want us to look at for a few minutes is how we need to pursue the right path, the right path. In verse 13 of Hebrews 12, it says, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Interesting verse. Some thoughts on this. First of all, make sure, and this is really important for all of us, make sure that you are on the right path. And I realize this morning that there's many people here in this place. I don't know who you are. But my encouragement to everyone here today is that you would make sure that you are on the right path. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, it says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end that leads to death. The reality is we live in a world today, in a culture today, where it seems that there are many paths. It appears that people have all these options and people are exploring different paths. And it's like they have this idea that all paths lead to God, or all paths lead to heaven, or all paths lead to a relationship with the Father. The reality is that's not true. And it's easy to get caught up in that deception, where Jesus said in John 14, and it's interesting, in the evening service, a big part of the focus of the Gospel of John is about Jesus. John 14, Jesus said, he was very emphatic about it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. He didn't give a bunch of options. He didn't give a bunch of choices. He said, there's one path to the Father, and he said, it's me. And so the challenge this morning, the encouragement to us today, is to make sure that you are on the right path. Jesus said, follow me. It goes back to what we said earlier in chapter 12, where Jesus, or the writer says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to him. Make sure that your path, the path of life that you are on, is involving following Jesus. And that you not get distracted by all the other options and paths that are around you. Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so follow him. And so first thought here is make sure you are on the right path. Second thought here is make sure that the path that you are on, that others can follow you. I love the words of the Apostle Paul, a bold statement. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I've often thought about that. What a challenging word for him to say. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. The reality is people are looking for someone else to follow. They may not always look to Jesus initially, but they will look to you. And so the question today is this: are you following Christ in such a way that others can follow you? We need to be careful that we are not leading someone down the wrong path. That's why the power of example is important. That's why the power of friendship and mentorship is important, that we have people, that people can actually look to our lives and follow us. Not saying that you're going to be perfect. Not saying that you're going to be without fault along the way, because we all experience those times. None of us are there's only one perfect one, and that was Jesus himself. But hopefully, even as we're looking at some of these pursuits today, that we can bring our relationship with God and the path that we are leading and the life that we are living can be something that others can follow, that your children can follow. The most important example that you can give is an example to your children, that they might follow you. Be careful not to lead them down the wrong path. Be careful not to establish priorities in your life that isn't going to help them with eternity. Don't hinder them. Be careful not to cause others to stumble or to fall. And so that's a little bit where this make level paths comes in. The point here is pay attention to the pitfalls, the potholes. I'm thankful for those in our city who go around from time to time and they fill a pothole, especially if you are a cyclist or a motorcyclist. The last thing you want is to plow into a hole that you can't see in the dark. The reality is today is that there are all kinds of pitfalls and whatever you want to call it. It's the pit, whatever. All kinds of things that can cause people to fall, and we need to pay attention to those things and make sure that those who are following us are helped and not hindered. It talks about the lame being disabled. A little bit of the context here is the thought, some of the thought behind this are people others who are in the race, who maybe have become discouraged or on the verge of giving up, feel hopeless, helpless. What they are looking for is someone that can actually help them. And that's why God has created this thing called the church. The last thing that we need is just to walk alone. Part of the purpose of the church, part of the purpose of the body of Christ, part of the purpose of gathering together, whether it's on a Sunday like this or in a small group during the week or wherever it might be, is that we might be able to help others along the path. And so, let me encourage you to look at the path, pursue the right path, make sure you're going in the right direction, make sure your path is following Jesus. And I want to say that today, if you're here this morning and maybe you've never gotten onto that path, maybe you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, my encouragement to you would be, let that be today. That you say, Jesus, today I want to begin a relationship with you. Today I want to follow Jesus with all of my heart. And so, first of all, we see pursuing right paths as a pursuit that matters. Secondly, pursue peace in your relationships. I believe that this point is going to touch home with a number of us today. Look at verse 14, Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men. How many know it takes effort? It takes effort to have a peaceful relationship with people. The challenge, the reality is God is calling us not to be so prickly or touchy or abrasive. Some people, it's like they're wired just looking for a fight. And he's saying here, God's people were called to be different. The context here primarily is, when it says all men, the context in this verse is people who are of the family, the body of Christ in the church. There's another verse we'll look at here in a couple of minutes that broadens that. But the reality is, you and I cannot live this life or run the race or be a follower of Christ without experiencing some kind of conflict in our relationships. We all have conflict from time to time, every one of us. And one of the greatest strategies of the enemy. One of the greatest ways that the enemy loves to knock people out of the race is through conflict and through division and hurt and disunity and bitterness and so on. Satan will use hurt. He will use offense. He will use pride, bitterness to come between you and those that you love. I don't have to, if I were to ask you how many of you experienced that, every hand would go up, including my own. Again and again, relationships, churches, marriages get ripped apart because of hurt, because of division and disunity. And so he's saying here, we've got to pay attention to our relationships. We've got to pay attention to relationships and pursue peace with everything that's within us. Romans 12 and verse 18. I'm not sure if it's on the screen, but here's a kind of an extension of that, of this word. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, it gives a bit of a qualifying thought here. And that is that there are going to be times when it's not possible. There are going to be times when you might be put in a place where you are forced to compromise your faith. You might be put in a position where you are forced to surrender your integrity, maybe with your job or whatever it might be. And so there are going to be times when, if it comes down to obeying God or trying to keep the peace, it's going to be more challenging. But the point here is that there's a lot dependent on you maintaining peace. There's a lot dependent on you finding a way to bring a peaceful resolution to whatever the conflict you might find yourself in. And so where possible, as far as it depends on you, a lot of times we say, well, I'm not going to change until that guy changes. How many know that doesn't work very well? One of the greatest hindrances to peace is our stupidity and our stubbornness, because we're just not willing to budge. And I realize that sometimes with ungodly people or non-Christians or whatever you want to call them, that there are going to be times when we're not going to be able to find a resolution. But the reality is there's usually some common ground. There's some way that we can avoid becoming this person that it just gives them more ammunition against us. And so where possible, I need to go after peace in my relationships. I need to do whatever it takes in my marriage, in our church, in your family. If I need to forgive, forgive. If you need to forgive someone, forgive. If I need to say I'm sorry, I will say I'm sorry. It's one of the hardest things. Because when we say we're sorry, we're basically saying, you know what, I was wrong. And yet so often pride keeps us from saying, I'm sorry. If I need to overlook an offense, I will overlook the offense. Proverbs tells us it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. And so there are times we need to just let it go. When it comes to our hurts, sometimes we find ourselves nursing those hurts and massaging those hurts and feeding those hurts. And every time we see that person, we allow that hurt just to rise up. And if we're going to pursue peace, if it's possible, as far as it depends on me, if it means I'm going to stop nursing the hurt and let that hurt go and not keep holding it against that person, I need to do it. Sometimes it's quarrels. The Bible talks about this, foolish arguments. Sometimes we're just so intent on, we've got to be right and we've got to get the last word. How many know that just trying to get the last word is not a very good way at actually coming to a place of peace? Sometimes we just got to shut up in order to, did I say that? Is that all right? Bitterness. Look at verse 15 in this text that we've just read. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When I put it in big, bold print in my notes here, it says, go hard after that root of bitterness. And usually bitterness doesn't just happen overnight. It usually starts with a hurt. It usually starts with a hurt that's been nursed. It usually starts with a hurt that's been fed. And it's often something that has accumulated over time. And what happens is it becomes a root. And then when that root springs up, what it does, it grows. And then the result of it is that it causes trouble and defiles many. And he's saying here, when it comes to pursuing peace in our relationships, go after that bitter root. Don't let it, like, deal with it. Get rid of it. Don't just clip it off. How many know what weeds are like? You know, if you just clip it off at the surface, what happens? It just comes back. Some of you right now, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you right now, you're dealing with a persistent root of bitterness that is going to keep you from running your race well. You're going to constantly be entangled by it. And I want to encourage you with all of my heart, with the grace of God and love, is to with the help of the Holy Spirit. And some of you might even need someone to talk to about this. You might need a small group leader. You might need a counselor. You might need someone, a trusted friend, to help you deal with that. You don't have to deal with it alone, friends. This is not a sermon intended to beat anybody up or discourage anyone. Some of this stuff, you actually might need someone to help you experience the healing of God, because some things can only be dealt with through the power of Jesus Christ. And it's not just your efforts, but certainly we need to do our part. That's the point here. We need to do our part as far as it depends on you. Go hard after that root of bitterness. When you see it coming up, just recognize what it is and say, you know, Satan, I'm not going to allow that root to grow up in my life. If it's a hurt, ask Jesus to heal the hurt so that you can move on. Are you with me? Ask Jesus to bring healing into that area of your life so that you can move on, so that you can continue in this race that God's called us to run. Colossians chapter 3, I think it's in your notes. Number of verses there. But I want to just touch on verse 15 before we move on, and that is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Jesus, friends, is the Prince of Peace. One of the things I love about the Christmas season is we get to spend time during the Advent season where we talk about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And there's no one better to establish peace in our life than Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, let the peace of Christ rule. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. I found one of the ways that I can deal with that person that maybe where there's been offense or hurt is just to start thanking God for them. Maybe you've got that person in your life that is an antagonist or an irritant or just has a way of just bugging the daylights out of you. We all have them. The Bible says, be thankful. Say, Holy Spirit, I give thanks to God for that person in my life. Maybe God's going to use them to help define and refine and help you to grow in this area of your life. And so hopefully there's something there on this point when it comes to pursuing peace that you can add to your toolbox of dealing with relationships. And it's nothing new. It's not rocket science. It's just the reality we just need to do. We need to pursue peace. If we're going to run well and to run in such a way that others can follow, let's go hard after this. Thirdly, we need to pursue purity. Purity. Look at verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And then look at verse 16. It says, and see to it that no one is sexually immoral. Again, the context here is in the church, in the body of Christ, in our relationships with God's people. Two elements that we see here coming through in this call to purity. One is in our relationship with God. He calls it holiness. Now, we know that there's only one who is holy, and that's God himself, right? There's only one true holy one, and that's God. But when Jesus Christ saves us, when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our life, he forgives us, the Bible says, of all of our sin. One of the things that he does is that he declares us holy. He declares us righteous before him. We talked about this a few weeks ago, Sunday night. He declares us justified. It means that it's as though we have never sinned, which is kind of hard to imagine that. And so positionally, everyone say positionally. Positionally, we have been declared before God holy. But how many know, practically speaking, we are far from the mark. Every day, every week, almost, you know, many times through the day, we are reminded that we are less than holy. We often find ourselves far from where God wants us to be. And so, positionally, we are one thing, declared holy, but practically, we are needing to come into alignment with God and who we now are in Christ. So the call here is for a heart that is growing in conformity with God's plan and God's will and God's standards for our lives. Call it, another theological term is the term sanctification. We are being changed. It's a continual change process that is taking place. And so the call here is holiness, for holiness, for purity. And so the challenge this morning is pursue. We need to pursue it. We need to go after living a lifestyle that is pleasing and honor and glorifying to God. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's scandal of grace, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. In other words, you know, it's great to come on a Sunday morning and wave our hands and worship and sing our songs. That's an expression of our worship. But the greatest, the best worship that you can give to God is by presenting your life in full surrender to him and choosing to live a lifestyle that is holy and honorable and pleasing. Verse 2, it says, and do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And so positionally we are one thing. Practically we've got some room for improvement. We need to grow in this area. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to change us and transform us, and the renewing of our mind and the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important, because it's one of the things that God uses to help transform us and change us. Part of holiness as well, another element here, is the call to sexual purity. Sexual purity. And that, friends, I'm going to be the first one to admit, it is in the age, the world that we are living in today, this is no easy assignment or no easy task to live up to. Verse 16, Hebrews 12. And see to it that no one is sexually immoral. One of the realities is that God, sex is a gift from God. It's a gift that God has given to be enjoyed between a man and a woman in the boundaries, in the context of marriage. And so he's saying sexual immorality is anything. It's a sexual relationship that would fall outside of those boundaries and outside of that blessing and outside of that protection that God calls marriage. And my encouragement to us this morning is that, well, many struggle in this area of their life. That it is an area that with God's help that we can pursue. And rather than focusing on the wrong, let's focus on what's right. Let's focus on what God would have for us. Sexual sin and temptation is one of the oldest battles to mankind, and it can be extremely crippling. It cripples lives. It cripples marriages. It's a horrible, horrible pornography. It's rampant. It's destructive. And it doesn't just affect men. It affects women big time as well. And so he's saying if we're going to run this race, this is one of the areas that we can be knocked out of the game, knocked out of the race very quickly. And it's an area that we constantly have to battle. But with God's help, you know, he's the one who designed it. He's the one who's given it to us as a gift to be preserved and to be held on to. If you're a teenager here this morning, or if you are not married, save that gift for your wedding night. Let me encourage you, save it. Save yourself. Save that for God's gift to be expressed when he brings you together in matrimony. And so if this is a pursuit that God's called us to, then let me encourage you, it's a pursuit that you can achieve, but again, not in your own strength. That's why we do need help. That's why we do need friends. That's why we do need to have accountability. That's why we need to have people who we can talk to when we battle in these areas of sexual sin or temptation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I think a lot of these scriptures are in your notes today. It says to flee sexual immorality. In other words, if you're going to pursue something, pursue the opposite. Look at verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 6. It says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. Kind of like Joseph did. Eh? Remember the story in the Old Testament when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And here's a young man. What he did was he actually ran. She was left holding his coat, but he got out of there. He knew it wasn't a safe place to be. It says, and no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. And folks, I don't understand how all this works. But it says, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. And so we must honor God with our bodies. Again, you bring up subjects like this and the room goes really quiet. Because the reality is it's something that, again, culture, mainstream media, culture would not be in line. We would not be in sync with this message. And I don't want to go into all the ins and outs of it today, but the reality is it is a battle, and it's a struggle, and it's a place where we need the grace of God, and we need to extend grace to one another. We need to be willing to help one another. Over the years, I've had many people who have been trapped in some of these areas, and we've had to help them walk through it, help them to walk out of it, help them to walk into a place of freedom. One of the greatest places where people need to become free is in the whole area of sexual purity. And God can do it. I believe in practically speaking in a thing called secondary virginity, where people we can declare that from this day forward we're going to walk away from that part of our past, and with God's help and grace we're going to save ourselves for that marriage partner that God gives to us. And until then, we're going to wait. We're going to hold steady. And so in all of this, when it comes to pursuing purity, we need to pursue hard after our relationship with God. Pursue what is right and pleasing to Him. Pursue sexual purity. Pursue sexual integrity. Whatever it takes in order for us to be able to experience the beauty that God wants us to enjoy, our relationship with Him and our relationship with others, our relationship sexually with ourselves and with the one that God has saved us for. And so let this land with encouragement and grace, and may God help us as we pursue this area of our life that we must pursue, and that is purity with God. And the final thing I want to just leave us with today is to pursue God's best. I offered help for those who are maybe dealing with conflict. And if you're stuck in a relationship and you need help, then let us help you find the help you need. If you are stuck and maybe feeling shame and guilt and condemnation when it comes to, one, your relationship with God or sexual purity or whatever, then we want to be able to be helpful to you as well. And so I extend that grace to you. Don't need to deal with this alone. The last thing, and it sort of ties it all together, and that is to pursue God's best. To pursue God's best. How many know that God has His best life for us? Amen? God has His best life for you and for me and for us as a church and for everyone here today and for those that we are reaching out to. But here in verse 16 we see, he says, "See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the eldest son. And afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought the blessing with tears. He could not change what he had done." Simple story from the Old Testament where there were two brothers by the name of Esau and Jacob. And Esau was the eldest of the brothers. They were actually twins, but he was the firstborn. And Esau was entitled to the father's blessing, inheritance. But one day when Esau was hungry, had a physical hunger, he saw his brother Jacob making up some dinner. And what he ended up doing was they worked out this little deal where Esau was hungry. Jacob was opportunistic, which was bad as well, and said, "Well, how about you sell me your birthright? How about you sell me your inheritance, and I'll give you dinner?" And so what ended up happening was Esau gave up the very, very best for a dinner, for a simple meal, a temporary satisfaction. And when the whole thing unfolded, when Esau wanted to have the blessing still bestowed upon him, at this point now, it was too late. And the simple point in all of this is that Esau gave in to the temporary and missed the best. And friends, the challenge this morning as we close is we must keep pursuing that which is eternal. The good, the best life, the best relationship. In your marriage, pursue what's best. Pursue what's right. In your relationship with God, pursue what's right. Not just what's easy. We live in a world where it's the tendency is for people to go after the easy way. You know, it might mean you might have to wait a little bit longer to find that spouse that you were waiting for, instead of settling for someone that maybe God never intended you to be in a relationship with. My encouragement to you this morning is pursue what's right. Pursue God. Pursue His heart. Pursue His will. Pursue His kingdom. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. I want to close with this verse, and I'm not sure if it's on the screen or not, but write it down, 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's a good word, isn't it? We do it for a crown that will last forever. The interesting thing is, and some of you probably know this, that when the runners in the ancient games, when they would run their races, the winners would receive a victor's crown. And it typically would be a wreath made out of little branches and maybe a few pine branches or holly or something like that. And the reality is that within a very few days, that wreath that would be put on the winner's head, the crown, they didn't get a gold medal, they would get a crown, a victor's crown. That wreath would wither and would lose its glory very quickly. And so the writer here is saying that when you pursue God, when you pursue His best, when you pursue what's right, when you pursue purity and holiness and right relationships, when you pursue, when you go hard after the very best that God has for you, He's saying that you're going to receive a crown that will not fade, but will last forever. How many are thankful to God for that this morning? There's a crown of glory that is waiting for you and for me and for all who will run this race that will last forever. I couldn't help being that I've been preaching on this the last couple of weeks, standing in the hospital room this week up at St. Joe's with Kay Schwind and her family. I couldn't help but just look down on that sweet little lady and realize that waiting for her momentarily is going to be a victor's crown that will last forever. And that she was facing her eternal home with God's to be in God's presence. And I just couldn't help but just in my heart say, thank you, Lord, for people like Kay. And I know many of you don't know this lady, but beautiful woman of God, encouraging, thankful, appreciative. I used to always sit in the back row there when they moved to the Comox Valley. Thankful to God, thankful for God's love and presence. And to know that she was only breaths away from her eternal inheritance. And friends, I'll tell you something. The race is worth it. God's best is worth it. It's worth giving our life to. And as we close this morning, I want you to know that having a relationship with God, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. Your relationship with God, having a relationship with God is worth you giving the best of your life to so that you can have His best. I'm going to invite you right now just to bow your heads with me as we close. Maybe, Joel, we could do that song, Scandal of Grace, again in closing. I want to, as I said earlier, you may be here this morning and you are maybe not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to know that today can be your day. Today can be your day to receive Him. That's the most important decision that you could ever make, and that is to accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. Because the reality is, as I said, there's no way in this world that you and I could ever attain a relationship with God in our own. We've just messed up too badly. I've messed up. We've all messed up. We're all a mess, folks. We are all a mess. We're a mess in every way. Holiness, purity, sexually. We're a mess. But friends, I want you to know that God, He reached down to us and gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us out of that mess into a relationship with Him. He does not want to see you continue in the path that you are on. Some of you are on a path that's taken you nowhere fast. Some of you right now are on a path. It's a path where the end is spiritual death. But I want you to know that Jesus is here. And He offers to you a path of life, a path of hope, a path of grace, a path of forgiveness. And I know that most of you here this morning are on that path, but there might be one or two of you here today, and this could be your day to say, you know what, I'm done with the mess. I need Jesus. And if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor Dave, I need Jesus. I want to get on the right path. I want to follow Him. I want God's best for my life. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed and no one looking around in this place, I want you just to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Dave, would you pray for me? I want God's best. I want Jesus in my life. I want to give my life to Him this morning. If that's you, just slip up your hand real quick. No one's looking around. Just slip up your hand right now. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else today? God bless you, young man. Bless you. God bless you. Joel said it earlier. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. There is nothing beyond God's grace. And I know that some of you this morning are just saying, you know what, I'm tired of my own life. I want God's best. And I can't think of a better decision to make today than to say, with God's help and His grace, and with the help of friends, with the help of other followers who are weak and struggle with many of the same struggles that you and I struggle with, together we're going to run this race. We're going to help each other. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to connect with each other. We're not going to do this alone. If we see someone else who is going astray, we're going to reach out to them and we're going to try to get them back on track. Bible says, he who is spiritual, if you see a brother or sister who is fallen, it says you restore them gently. We're not gonna make them feel shameful. We're gonna just say, you know what, there's a better way. And so right now, Lord, we pray, church family, let's all pray together. We pray for these ones who have raised their hands right where they're sitting, and right now in their heart, God, we just, Holy Spirit, we just say, we invite you to address the reason that they raised their hand right now. From the child that raised their hand to young adults who have raised their hands. Jesus, we are offering our lives afresh to you. God, we want your best. If there's areas of our life where we need to repent, if there's areas of our life where we need to make some bold decisions, If there are some things that we are, whether it's sexual purity, if we need to make some changes, adjustments in our life to bring that area of our life more into alignment, not more, but into alignment with your plan and purposes, God, I pray that today would be the day that we make those decisions. Thank you, Lord. Pursuits that really matter. The right peace or the right path. Peace with God and peace with one another. Purity, holiness, sexual purity. God's best. Like the last line of that song, that my soul might live. God's best is waiting for you, friends. As a church family, we exist because we want every one of you to experience God's very best. We want every child to experience God's best. We want every teenager, every young adult, every North Island college student to experience God's best. That's why we're here. And together we want to see that happen more and more and more. And together we get to be part of this team. But it's going to take us pursuing, going hard after these things that really matter, these things that have eternal value. And thankful for the other pursuits in life, but it's the things that really matter that we need to pay attention to. And so I want to just say as we close today, as we go, that God gives us, you know, some of you raised your hand this morning. It's a journey that begins today, and you need to go forward with it. It's an invitation to a fresh start. It's a new beginning. Things aren't going to change instantly necessarily, but as we allow God's work and grace as you open your heart to allow Him to change you and transform you, His best life is waiting for you. And so we want to encourage you and bless you as you begin this journey. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.